Once again, I want to welcome all y'all. So glad that you are here. And if you are visiting with us, we are super glad that you've chosen to worship with us here today at Highland Baptist Church. And if you are newer to us, please know that we are journeying verse by verse through the book of 2 Corinthians. We're really alternating between that and Genesis. But we're going verse by verse through 2 Corinthians. This is our 10th week here in a row in 2 Corinthians. What a joy and supreme privilege to read and study each Sunday a book that the Creator of the universe has written, preserved, and given to us. And what a joy. I just remembered something. I need to announce VBS. So, VBS, I was asked to announce VBS is June 8th through the 11th. So, okay, so that's taken care of. All right, VBS. All right. But what a joy to continue searching the depths of 2 Corinthians as we focus in on the sufficiency of our Savior, the sufficiency of our Savior. Now, there are many people, because of Elon Musk's intellect and accomplishments, who are eager to follow and read anything that he says and does. They value, they esteem his life, they esteem his work, his words. But let's not forget that the one who created us from the dust of the earth and created the heavens out of nothing desires for us to know him. So God not only has written us a book and he has put it in our language, but he sent us his son to appear in human flesh and die on a cross. And he gave us his spirit to dwell in us until we see him face to face. Oh, church, may God be merciful and give us grace to value his every word in the highest of esteem. What we hold in our hands this morning is forever settled in the heavens. So may we not diminish or ignore or dismiss what God has given us. Every word is there for a reason. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how evangelistic the Bible is. It seems like every text, every Sunday, comes down to the ministry of Christ on the cross and the righteousness that he so freely offers. And so with expositional preaching, I just simply preach what is next in the text. And most often what's next is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul talking about two kinds of glorious ministries by God. One brings condemnation and death, while the other brings righteousness and life. One ministry is the old covenant that condemns us, and the other is the new covenant and the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so for all of eternity, every person will be under one of these two divine ministries. So let me ask this morning, which one are you presently under? Both ministries are glorious, as 2 Corinthians says, but the ministry of the law that brings condemnation and death is not so glorious to those who remain rebellious and unrepentant. God gave us his law to show us just how sinful we are, how far we have fallen from his glory, how we have trespassed against his will, how we have blasphemed his holiness, and how we are utterly helpless to save ourselves. We cannot lift a finger to save ourselves. We cannot reach out and grab the life preserver as we are spiritually rotting, a rotting dead corpse who's been lying on the ocean floor since our physical birth. Prior to saving grace, we are dead spiritually, and we are dead towards God, and we are dead towards his gospel. The law is gracious in that it reveals to us that we cannot save ourselves. This revelation from God is a gracious act because we all are born with a nature that believes that we can truly save ourselves. However, the law shows us that we need a Savior, that we need a rescuer if we are going to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that the law came with glory, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the living God came with even more glory. And we're going to finish chapter 3 today and then start an initial look at chapter 4. As you may know, Paul did not include chapter divisions. And so Paul just continues on in what is chapter 4 with more talk about what he's already been talking about in chapter 3. Paul did not envision a break of any kind here, and neither should we. So let's read verse 10 up to chapter 4 and verse 1, and then we will pray for God's blessing upon our time in his word. Verse 10. In fact, what had been glorious, and he's talking about the law, is not glorious now by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness. We are not like Moses. He used to put a veil over his face so that the Israelites could not stare at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were closed. For to this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted because it is set aside only in Christ. Even to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that your almighty Spirit would illumine our minds today, open our hearts, so that we may see the glorious truth you have for us in your word. May your Spirit make the word of God come alive in our hearts today. May it revive your people, and may it quicken, make alive those who are currently dead in their trespasses and sins. May you bless your word to our hearts. May your word accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you can see, today's message has two titles. It's really aimed at two kinds of people in the world: those who are in Christ, that is, those who have this ministry, and those who are not in Christ, those who do not have this ministry. Everybody on this planet fits into one of these two categories. So this morning, one or the other of these titles is directed at you. You either have this ministry or you don't. But know this, there is nothing more important in your life than to have this ministry. In verse 10, Paul continues his remarkable exposé of the law and grace when he exclaims that the law written on stone tablets by the very finger of God is not glorious by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. The law of God, by comparison, is not glorious compared to the ministry that overflows with righteousness from the Holy Spirit of God. If you are born again, you are the undeserving beneficiary of this most glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is telling the Corinthians that the law that they are endeavoring to keep in their own self-reliance has been surpassed in glory. There is something greater. Based on what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, we can assume that they are pursuing a lesser glory that fades away. Verse 11, Paul says that if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. He's saying, hey, listen, folks. The glory of pointing to your law-keeping is over. The glory of pointing to yourself is over. The glory of pointing to your self-righteousness and self-dependence is over. And then Paul tells us to make way for the glory that promotes dependence. In our American society of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, dependence is something that looks weak. The most wonderful word in verse 11 to me is endures. Righteousness endures. The Holy Spirit's ministry endures, while the law of condemnation fades away for those who are in Christ. In our prayer is that you are in Christ and not under the law and its judgments. Verse 12, because we have the hope that the ministry of righteousness will endure, we use great boldness. The lasting ministry of the Holy Spirit is what gives us confidence. Confidence to live, confidence to minister and evangelize as Christians. We have hope, church. We have life, and we have a message that will not fade away. In verse 13, Paul says that we are not like those who could not stare at the glory that was fading away because their minds were closed. These folks were still living with nothing but the natural man and the natural inclinations of their hearts. And the writer, the Apostle Paul, will return to this idea of unregenerate minds being closed in chapter 4 and verse 4. And Lord willing, we will look at that next week. Pre-conversion, prior to being saved, the unregenerate mind and eyes are closed to the gospel. They're closed to the ministry of the Spirit and righteousness. They cannot see nor understand. And if you've ever witnessed repeatedly to someone over and over and over again, and I hope you have, and I hope you do, and I hope you are, you will understand this to be true. In verses 14 and 15, Paul says that their minds were closed, and to this day, whenever the law of God is read and proclaimed, the same veil that covered Moses' face because the people could not look directly at the glory, that same veil also covers the unregenerate heart because they cannot understand the glory of the gospel. They cannot look upon it. They cannot see it. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. The veil that covers the glory of God from our eyes and hearts is only removed in Christ. And Paul said that even today, When they read the law of God, their hearts are covered with that veil. They cannot see, and they do not understand or believe. And every unregenerate person who encounters the law of God, they cannot understand. They cannot understand the holiness of God and the law, and they do not understand their own depravity and unrighteousness, and that's the bad news. Prior to conversion, we stand condemned, and we don't even know it, much less believe it. But we praise God for verse 16. Whenever there's bad news, there's always good news. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Our hope is in the Lord. It is He who removes the veil from our hearts, which then allows us to see His glorious gospel. And it is He who becomes our hope instead of ourselves. Verse 17, Paul explains that the Lord is the Holy Spirit of God. And wherever He is, there is freedom. We believe the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but when we drill down into this text, what Paul is saying is that each born-again believer possesses the Holy Spirit of God, and so wherever He is, there is freedom. So wherever a Christian is, there is freedom. They have freedom. There's a common but biblical expression we use. We like to say when we say that to be in Christ is to be set free. We want you to be set free if you are not right now. The born-again person has been set free by Christ from their chains and bonds of sin, as Romans chapter 6 declares. The Bible warns that all people from birth are born slaves to sin. And we are slaves to sin until the Lord removes the veil that covers our hearts, as 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is talking about. And only then are we free to love, serve, and obey the Lord. And so all who have had that veil removed by God can see and now reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Upon conversion, God changes us from the fading glory of the law to the everlasting glory of His Spirit. And we become more and more like Him. And this work in our lives is done by the Lord, who is the Spirit of the living God. And this ministry is not self-reliant, but Holy Spirit-reliant. So let me ask you today, is God doing this good work in you? Has He transformed you? Is He changing you? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? Or is every year after year after year, just like the year before, with no change? Do you ever feel moved and stirred by God's Spirit? Do you ever feel conviction by the Holy Spirit of the living God? Are you being brought to change by the grace and power of the Spirit of God? Can you look at your life and see real, definable, and discernible change? I hope you can. We now move into chapter 4. Chapter 4, as I've said, just continues on with what Paul has been talking about for several verses already. However, we must be aware that chapter 4 is all about the true gospel ministry. And the main idea is that we must be able to discern true gospel ministry, because there are many professing gospel ministries, but there are always counterfeits. There are always false gospels. They are numerous, but there is only one true gospel ministry, only one. And so the question for you is, do you know gospel ministry when you see it? Do you know it when you hear it? As believers, we are supposed to be able to recognize when something is of God and when it isn't. We should be able to discern gospel truth from a false gospel. We should be able to discern what is the move of the Holy Spirit or not the move of the Holy Spirit. And this alone confuses a lot of Christians. We should not be afraid to stand against false teaching. We are surrounded, church, by false teaching, much like a fish is surrounded by water. I mean, it is everywhere. That's why it's beneficial to rehearse the gospel every week, much less every day. Look what Paul told Timothy. He says that there will be some who will fall away from the faith. They will fall away from this ministry, and they will pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, taught by liars whose consciences are seared. I think many of us personally know someone who has departed from the faith they once professed. They have departed either by their lifestyle or both their lifestyle and their own words. And this demonic teaching that 1 Timothy 4 is speaking of is not necessarily or always dark or foreboding and scary on the surface. In fact, it is often done by nice-looking people in suits and ties who do a lot of God talk, who speak a lot of Bible-ese, maybe even cross of Christ talk, but is really nothing more than self-improvement and self-betterment to achieve happiness and success and just be all you can be. Or in other cases, it's all polished up with talk about trusting in Christ on the cross, but also being baptized in order to make it to heaven. This kind of talk doesn't seem sinister or evil, but the end result of these kinds of teaching is demonic, as it escorts people to the broad path of destruction. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says that people will not tolerate or endure sound doctrine. They will turn away. Because to hear truth sometimes hurts, does it not? If reading the Bible never hurts, you may not be reading it. Sometimes the Bible makes us uncomfortable, uneasy. Sometimes it offends us, our human nature. Sometimes our natural man just dislikes it. When people don't want to face the truth anymore, because the truth cuts going in and it cuts coming out. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. The book you hold in your hands this morning does this work. No other book that has ever been published can do that. But the Word of God also heals, because the great physician is seeking to transform us Whenever God pierces, he wants to heal. Whatever he removes, he wants to put something back in place of it. That is the work his Spirit does for us. But the work that we do for ourselves is to accumulate teachers in accordance with our own desires. We want to have our ears tickled. All of us do. Causes us to fall away from the truth and into a lie. That's the great big temptation here. This is true in our day, and it was also true in first century Corinth. So Paul writes, because peddlers of the so-called gospel are entering the Corinthian church, and they're coming in as itinerant communicators and not as local shepherds. In their attempt to engage the needs of the Corinthians to make them better so they can get money from them. They tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And when you say what people want to hear, and when you don't say what they should hear, you'll have more friends, you'll have a bigger following, maybe even bigger offerings. This church should fear any pastor who tells you only what you want to hear. The pastor is supposed to be a mouthpiece for Almighty God. And when God speaks, some will always turn away, because sometimes the Bible says what we don't want to hear. Sometimes the Bible says what I don't want to hear. Also in chapter 4, Paul speaks of what 100% true gospel ministry looks like. He begins by saying, therefore, since we have this ministry. And the reason why Paul can say the words, since we have this ministry, is because he's writing to Christians. He is writing to those who have been born again from above. And when we hear Paul say, we have this ministry, we need to ask, well, what is this ministry? What ministry is Paul referring to that they have? And this is one of the reasons why an expositional study of God's word is helpful to gain the true understanding of the text. For example, what have we been talking about the last two Sundays? If you've been here, you know what Paul is talking about. He has mentioned two ministries in chapter 3, but most recently, last Sunday and today, Paul has been referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of righteousness. He is talking about the ministry that is produced by the Spirit that produces righteousness in God's people. And so the product of the Holy Spirit's ministry is the work of the Spirit in the lives of Christian people. This ministry is a result of what the Holy Spirit has done, is doing, and will do. And so Paul says in chapter 4, since we have this ministry of God's Spirit of righteousness, we do not give up. We do not give up. How profound for someone who has declared in this letter that they despaired of life, that they had a death sentence, that they were extremely troubled with anguish of heart, that they were overwhelmed by excessive grief. Does that sound like you? Can you relate? Sympathize, empathize, understand, like, been there, done that. I know what Paul feels like. Paul says to you, do not give up. Do not give up. And why? We don't give up because we were shown mercy. We were given this ministry by the Holy Spirit. If your heart is troubled, there is mercy for you. When Paul ministered, he ministered in the Spirit. He wasn't trying to deceive people as these peddlers of false gospel were in Corinth. The Holy Spirit moved and Paul bore much fruit through, in, and by the Holy Spirit's work. Paul didn't do ministry that was forced, but rather it was the ministry of freedom. As chapter 3 and verse 17 declares, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And some people believe the lie that if they get saved, that they will lose their freedom. They think that they will have to just obey a bunch of rules, that they will no longer be happy, no longer be able to do whatever they want to do. And while some of that's true, they will experience a joy that is unsurpassed, a blessedness that is unsurpassed. There is no freedom apart from the saving grace of God. If you are not in Christ, you do not have freedom. The Holy Spirit alone produces the ministry of freedom, produces the ministry of selflessness, of self-abandonment. And this is how you know authentic gospel ministry. And I praise the Lord that this church is filled with authentic gospel ministry in every corner. Some of it we see regularly, while some of it we rarely see, even though it often happens. Authentic gospel ministry. Spirit-filled, Spirit-produced ministry does not long for control. It does not long for authority or recognition or 15 minutes of fame or self-advancement or any gratitude from men. It only seeks to be a servant like our Savior. The transformative ministry causes us to look more like Jesus Christ. And while Holy Spirit ministry in your life produces great joy, it's also painful because you are being chiseled. We are being chiseled. And if you feel God just won't let you go, you're in the right, true gospel place. But if you can get away with anything, if you feel like you can commit any sin and there's no problem, if you feel like you just keep on committing the same sins over and over and over again and you feel like you're just getting away with it, no problem, you are not under true gospel ministry. If you always feel good, if the sun always shines, if you always get what you want, if you are living your best life now, you may not be under true gospel ministry. To be under true gospel ministry is for the Holy Spirit of God to suddenly pierce you at times. The work of the Spirit includes purposeful pain. When God pierces you and you still feel His love, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that pain has purpose in your life. For the believer, it is not purposeless. Spirit's ministry is a ministry of conviction of sin. That means when you feel it, you feel it when you sin. When you contrive to sin in your mind and in your heart, the Holy Spirit warns. One commentator said this: if you have an usher instead a bouncer in your soul, you may not be his. If you have an usher instead a bouncer in your soul, you may not be one of God's. So the ministry of the Spirit not only convicts of sin, but also of righteousness. He is not only telling us what's wrong, he's also telling us what's right. We've been imputed with Christ's righteousness. So the ministry of righteousness pushes us towards what's right and declares that we're already empowered to do it. And as the Holy Spirit's ministry produces righteousness, it also produces a redemptive disposition towards God's work in us. A redemptive disposition towards the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, we have this ministry because we were shown mercy. We have this ministry of righteousness by God's Spirit because he had mercy on us and he saved us. This ministry that produces righteousness is a product of a work of the Spirit and is by the mercy of God. And this reminds me of this well-known verse, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The ministry of God's Spirit in our lives is deeply rooted in the compassion and mercy of God. God's mercy doesn't just mean that God doesn't give you what you deserve, and that's true, but it also means that you are experiencing the compassion of God. Mercy means compassion. And so when God looks at you in Christ and he sees your sin, he has compassion on you. You know, broken people will come to Jesus. But mercifully, true gospel ministry doesn't reject us for our brokenness. How compassionate is our God? Next Lord's Day, we will resume looking at the compassion of God and we will explore it further. For it is the ministry that we have. Let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for your work in our midst, for your work in our lives. It is a work that is too glorious for us to comprehend. But may it produce hearts that are full of love and gratitude and thankfulness to you and for you. We thank you for this ministry of the Holy Spirit that you have given to us, for the ministry that your Spirit produces in and through us. We acknowledge that we are wretched people, as Paul said he was, that we are nothing without you. I ask for your continued blessing on these people and for anyone here today who is still under the ministry of the law and the condemnation of God. May today they be placed under the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the living God. May today be the day that they are set free, granted the freedom to live, love, and serve you all of their days. May you bring great glory to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Because Paul is writing to a church, 2 Corinthians here, and a church can only be a church if the people are born again. He's able to say, since we have this ministry, or because we have this ministry. And as we've just talked about, this is ministry that is done to us, is done for us by the indwelling Holy Spirit of the living God. But even in a group of this size, it would be a mistake to assume that every single person is living in and under this most wonderful and glorious ministry. And so if you are still living under the ministry of death and condemnation, if you are still relying on your own goodness to attain heaven, our prayer and fervent hope is that today would be the day when mercy and compassion invade your heart. And God removes the veil that has blanketed your darkened heart since birth, so that you can finally see and believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. We long for you to find freedom in Jesus Christ. May today you experience the never fading, eternally glorious ministry of life and righteousness that brings everlasting joy, peace, and freedom. Please know that we are here to pray with you. Would you please stand to sing, and then we will be dismissed. The song encourages us to turn our eyes on Jesus.